on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse One. With Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
G'day rugby fans, this is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show and we're talking all things rugby league from across the globe. The General Luke Robinson and the Earl of Rugby League Leon Price is in the studio with me this evening. Good evening, boys.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good evening, Rob.
See what I did there for the first time? I actually put Luke Robinson before you, Leon.
Why?
You're not happy, are you?
No, I'm not.
Don't worry, we'll revert it back. I just wanted to know whether or not you'd notice it, and you didn't.
No, I didn't, so I was just busy sort of organising life.
You are, right? Well, we're going to get to that in a second. Okay. Now, last week, we launched a competition to get your hands on a family pass to this Saturday's Summer Bash event, the championship's answer to the Magic Weekend, where all championship teams will play in one stadium over the course of 2 days. Now, I think the game of the weekend will be the Bulls taking on Tabletoppers Lee Centurions, which is the final match of the Saturday evening. And we'll read out the winner a little later on. But we've got a new competition, and that is to win 10 pairs, count them, 1, 2, all the way up to 10, 10 pairs of tickets to Rugby AM Rocks for Saturday the 4th of June at the Menderhose Stadium. I think it's called the Menderhose Jungle, Castleford Tigers home grounds. There's loads going on at the stadium. There's junior tournament, there's open age nines tournament, there's a Legends game which has none other than yours truly, Sean Long, Yeston Harris, Paul Sculthorpe, Lee Gilmore, Leon Gilly's playing as well.
Gilly.
Love it. Sampo, mate, Bobby Gilding. Anyone that knows rugby league will know these names, except for mine. Also, there's music as well. Main stage, Jack Walton. He's a Cass lad, I think. Is that Jack Walton? He was on X Factor a couple of years ago. Tribute acts, music, all sorts, and dance marathons, etc., etc., etc. Goes on and on and on. So to find out how to win a pair of these 10 tickets, just go to pulse1.co.uk and click on the win tab. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show, news and views.
So Leon, you missed that point of me putting Robbo's name first for the first time ever after 2.5 years.
It's just disrespectful, Rob, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, you just mentioned you've been organising your life. What are you up to now, man?
I've got a bit of a night on, a bit of a function this weekend, Robbo. On Sunday, bank holiday Sunday.
But it's not open to the public, is it? It's a closed off VIP event, is it? Is it? Why don't you tell us about it?
It's kind of. We've kind of like.
That's how you sold it to me, anyway.
We've kind of got a closed Facebook group. But basically, Rob, let's tell all the people out there. Back in the day when I first started playing for the Bulls, a massive part of our life was going to a place called JB's. Now, JB's on Manor Road, just up in Bradford. So whenever we played a game and we won, which was most of the time because we had a really good team. We'd go out and we'd celebrate in JB's, and JB's were a place where a little bit upend, wasn't it, Matt, Robbie? It was a bit of a top market.
I don't know, Leon. I was an athlete. I was at home.
Yeah, cheer up, Robbie. Yeah, this is what we're talking about. We're on about Robbie Paul, not Robbie Hunter Paul.
Oh, okay.
All right, yeah? Robbie Paul's dead, isn't he?
I killed him. Got to go.
So we're allowed to talk about Rob because he doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so anyway.
To a certain extent.
We used to go there. We used to have a great time. There was a DJ called Eddie Naz and all the people used to go up there. There were Kenny Heard, Ronnie Heard, and all the Bulls boys would be back right at the back end, and we used to have a wicked time. And basically, it was some of the best times of his life.
Those were the days.
And what I wanted to do is recreate that kind of atmosphere, just get a night of old school, good music, get a good feeling, good vibe, and get a function on. So I'm having a night on Sunday down at Casa in Brig House, and I'm getting the DJs who used to DJ at JB's, and we're going to have a wicked night.
But let's be honest. Let's be honest, Leon. Out there in the open, what is the brand name that it is that the event is going to be profiled under?
Karma.
Oh, I thought it was Freak of Nature.
No, Karma.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, Freak of Nature is just our clothing brand, isn't it? It's just another part of it.
Oh, I'm so wrong then.
You're so wrong. Yeah, we just have to call it Karma. Yeah.
And the word Karma, is that because it's just going to be as cool as it used to be?
Yeah, because it's just got to be. It was my idea, actually, because I'm so brainer.
But actually, at the moment, now you're getting the headaches of running a big event like that because you're having to do all the logistical things, music, sound, making sure everything comes together.
Yeah, well,
like pulling teeth.
Yeah, you're never going to be able to do anything that you're doing for the first time and it runs smoothly. I never expected that. I think if you're prepared and you just try and go for it, then you know there's no complaints. So yeah, we're having a few problems, not problems, but it's just making sure everything's right for the day on Sunday.
So does it give you any anxiety? You know, this is your first time you're jumping into that sort of realm. Does it give you making you nervous leading up to the event?
Not really. It's something that I've always wanted to do. My partner Matthew Whitaker has been really good. He's pushing a lot of tickets and he's really organised. We've been able to organise a lot. And to be honest, we know that many people in Bradford that everybody's really helpful. You know, Maurice from Gold Shop on Wakefield Road has been fantastic, and you know, the people are really helping out. So
obviously one of the sponsors.
The biggest
there,
sponsor.
Robert.
The biggest sponsor.
Hey, Robert, have you got an invitation to this?
Yes, he has. He's got a ticket, yeah. I've got a ticket. It's free. Free invitation.
So you actually haven't been given an official one, because I put Leon on the spot. He's actually just asked you now.
Yeah, he's got a metaphorical one.
No, he's invited. You're invited. Of course you're invited. The Thank boys you. Are invited.
I feel blessed now.
Yeah, I do.
I feel special.
It's a nice feeling, isn't it?
No, I say, do you feel any pressure? But obviously, you've played in some of the biggest stadiums in the world, and they don't come much bigger. Well, actually, they do come much bigger, but a pretty flash stadium that you played in on the weekend. Magic Weekend. Let's talk.
Wicked.
Magic Weekend. How was it?
Yeah, it was wicked. When I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more last year, because I had a bigger game and a better game, and because it was the Saturday afternoon, whereas this week is the Sunday. Last game is not a very enjoyable game, because you've got to wait around the full weekend before you play. And the last game, you know, by the time you get home, it's 12, 1 o'clock, and you don't have time to enjoy it. Whereas if you play Saturday, you can play right in the middle section where we were. You get to watch one of the games, you play, you win, you get out of there, you get home, and then you can watch the full day Sunday at home with your family or at the pub at Kew Gardens or wherever you want to go.
What was the atmosphere like?
Wicked.
I'll be honest, mate, out there for the full weekend and Leon's...
Let's point out why you were there. Because after getting into trouble for saying some naughty things against the RFL, he's been working for the RFL this weekend. Hey, the host with the most.
Yeah, anyone,
hospitality.
I can be bought.
He's been up in the VIP area. He's been sitting up there sipping champagne and smoking big fat cigars.
Well, I would have liked to. I went with Stu Fielding, so I took Stu Fielding along with me.
Oh, it's all over there.
Yeah, all over. We had 75 boxes to do on the first day. I did 10, and I went back to him. He was still sat in the same one. We were having a beer with him.
Right.
I said, Stu, you can't have a beer in 75 boxes. It's been an hour. He only did one box in 1 hour. I said, mate, this ain't going to work.
Jim.
But no, I agree with Leon. The Saturday was electric. Everyone's it's full to the rafter. The Mexican wave are going on outside in the hospitality boxes. Everyone's having a good time. Everyone's partying on the shorts, and it's just a really good atmosphere. On the Sunday, there's a bit of a lull.
Yeah.
Not sure if everyone's a bit hungover or tired or drained, but you go into the boxes the next day, totally different feel.
That's why you're saying you don't want to play on the Sunday.
No, everybody wants to play Saturday middle fixture. That's the best one.
You've got to think about it. All the supporters that are going up for the weekend also, they're thinking Newcastle on a night out. It's actually quite famed, the northeast, for a night out. It's a big night, isn't
wicked,
it, for a weekend away.
But
everyone that's gone up there for the full weekend of rugby, Sunday, even the speckies are going to be a little tired.
They are.
Be a little rusty from the night before.
But the RFL planned this one, because if you remember last year, the last game was Wakefield-Castleford. Was it Wakefield-Castleford? It was when Wakey coach had just been sacked. And it was empty. The whole stadium was empty with about 50, 60 minutes of the game to go empty. It didn't look good. So what they've done now is they've reversed that and put all FC, Ulcar, who take probably the most fans up, last game Sunday. So it makes the stadium still look half full on, you know, still decent. So the switch reversed it.
I mean, I watched most of the games on the Saturday, and it looked busy all day. I mean, fantastic shots, and they smashed the record. A few more thousand in from the year. So every year, incrementally, the support base for the Magic Weekend has been growing and growing. Do you think we'll see it back there next year?
I'd love to take it back there. Obviously, it's my first time as a fan. I've obviously played in every year. But just going up, the atmosphere on the Saturday were electric. The Castleford fans, amazing. Probably due to the game, but just everything surrounding it. I just really like the fixture, the setting of it. It's right in the middle of the city. It reminds me a little bit of Cardiff. You walk straight out of the stadium, you're in the middle of the town centre. Pubs are ramparted. It's just an amazing venue.
It's definitely my top three stadium that I've ever played in. Easily. It's amazing. What a stadium. The fans are right on top of you. The atmosphere is awesome, and it's in, right, like Robbo said, in the city centre of Newcastle. I think it's a brilliant stadium.
Well, there were some brilliant outcomes as well, and after the break, we'll come back and we'll discuss that. We're also going to hear from an old Super League legend, you could call it, Keith Senior. He'll be on the show. We're going to give him a call in the second segment. So all that and more up next after this break. So stay with us on the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show.
it's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
G'day, it's Robbie Hunter Paul here, and we're talking cutting edge rugby league every week right here for you. Now, this week, we're giving away 10 pairs of tickets for Rugby AM's Rugby Rocks event held at the Castleford's Mendenhall Stadium on Saturday the 4th of June. Loads are going to be on. Actually, Robert, you wouldn't mind playing in these games, would you? But it'd just be on one leg.
With one leg?
No, do you know what? I got the all clear yesterday to actually be able to run again.
Do you have a Iron Man?
I can run. Metal Man.
Metal Man.
I can actually run again, so I've joined the touch team on a Wednesday night. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to see if we can get to a man who's synonymous with the Rugby AM setup. He's a Leeds Rhinos legend. He's a Sheffield Eagles legend. It is none other than Keith Senior. Keith, are you there, mate?
Yeah, good evening to you, Robert.
How are you doing?
Not too bad. I'm a little bit more excited now because I just heard Luke Robinson say that he's running, so I've got a number 7 shirt waiting for him.
There you go, Robert. You're straight in the starting lineup.
Straight in there. Might as well get him in there. He's got the experience.
He's certainly got the experience. But Robbo, actually, have you done any exercise since having your operations at all?
I've done about the same as Leon has in the last, 10 years, about a 10-minute bike ride.
No, it's 5 minutes so much.
Keith,
you've been very kind. He's been very kind there to Leon, I think.
Thank you very much, Keith. It's a secret.
It's not a very well-kept secret. Keith, obviously, you're a busy man. You run marathons for fun. You're involved with the Rugby AM setup, and you're also part of the Sheffield Eagles setup. Mate, when do you have time to spend any time with your family or anything?
Well, you know what it's like with Alex Simmons. Whenever you're involved with him, it's always intense, and he's always on the phone, and he's always trying to keep you busy. So I run the marathons to get away from him. You know, it gives me a good 5 hours time away from him, but yeah, it's you know, when you finish rugby, you've got to find a challenge, and my challenge is a little bit of running because I actually hate it. I despise it, and you lose that competitive spirit of the game. So I do a fair few charity challenges, and that's where I get my competitive satisfaction from. Now
you get that endorphin release. But how many marathons are you actually running a year?
I must be up to about 20-25 marathons that I've done since I've retired. So it's clocking up. The challenges just keep on getting bigger and bigger. Next one's the RL Cares bike ride to Rio. So that's going to be interesting, where me, Paul Highton, Charlie Webster, who commentates on Box Nation, we're riding from London Olympic Stadium all the way to Rio for Jane Tomlinson and RL Care. So that's going to be the next exciting venture.
That is absolutely incredible. And I understand, well, I know because I was there when Rugby AM was supporting Danny Jones's charity match last year. You actually run a marathon in the morning and then turned up and made it for the second half of that Legends game. How did you have any energy left in your legs?
You saw me play. I didn't have any energy. Yeah, it was a cameo appearance. Obviously, driving from York as well. It was the York Marathon. And getting to the game at Halifax, by the time I got there, I'd totally seized up. So I just did a little bit of trundling about the field. So my involvement wasn't the greatest. But like you say, it was for a great cause, you know, the Danny Jones Fund. And when you get asked to do events like that, then, you know, you just can't say no.
So tell us about Sheffield, mate. How are things getting on over there?
Yeah, it's difficult at the time, at the moment. You know, we've struggled with performances. We've got a lot of young kids in the squad, and obviously we changed a lot with us going full time. You know, so it's taking time for the lads to gel, and we haven't got the biggest of squad. Like I say, you know, we've got some young kids in vital positions in the halves and the hooker position. So the struggle to find a little bit of form, but we played Bradford last week, and we were pleased with the performance. You know, we could have won it. Mm-hmm. You know, we were 14-10 up, and we made an error in a try-scoring position, and then you go down the field and score at the other end, and it's sort of like his heads went down. So mm-hmm. we're pleased with the performance, and we saw a response, which is the main thing. So, you know, we're a little bit more positive this week, the way all the boys are performing.
Now, big game against London Broncos in the Summer Bash at Bloomfield Road in Blackpool this weekend. Do you see that performance against Bradford as an opportunity to springboard Sheffield's season for the rest of the year?
I think so. That's what we're hoping for. Like I said, you know, we've won a few games where there've been really ugly wins, but you know, the game against Bradford, we ended up losing, but it was a positive performance. Like I said, the boys had a dig, so hopefully they'll use that and get a little bit of confidence from them, because confidence is a strange thing. When you're not playing with confidence, it shows. And you know, like I said, they had a real big dig, and London actually touched us up last year at the summer bash. So you know, there's a little bit of revenge out there, but they're probably the form team of the Championship at the moment. So it's a tough task for the lads.
It sure is. It sure is. Now let's look forward. A week Saturday, Rugby AM's Rocks event. You're playing in the match itself. Some big names lining up for the Legends game. You got Sean Long, who's confirmed. You got Bobby Goulding, who's thrown his name in the hat as well. Yestin Harris, some of the biggest names that were running about in the game a few years ago. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's a big event that we've come up with. It's not just about the rugby. It's also a music festival as well. We've got junior rugby teams from, I think it's under 9s up to under 11s or 12s, playing throughout the day. We've got a Legends game, like I say, against Castleford Legends, against the Rugby AM Legends. You know, Paul Schoolfox turning out for us, Martin Gleeson, yourself that you weren't 100% sure about at the beginning, but we've roped you into it. You know, yesterday night, like you said, in Sean Long. For Castleford, you know, we've got Wagga Godwin, who's a legend in his own right. You know, yeah. Darryl Powell was actually pulling a shirt on to play as well. Yeah, Dean Sampson. We're trying to persuade Ryan Sheridan. He's in the mix as well. Franny Maloney. So, you know, we've got some big Castleford names turning out as well. Then after that game, we've got a nines competition for the amateur clubs, and also a music festival. Like I say, there's going to be live music there with Jack Walton, who was in the X Factor, and we've got some cover bands from Queen, Jesse J. So it's actually a really big event at the Mendenhall Jungle Stadium.
Oh, it sounds like it's going to be absolutely excellent. I'm happy I'm getting to play my part in it as well, because in theory I should get free tickets, shouldn't I?
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, it's a family event, you know, so it's going to be great to bring the kids down, bring the missus down and make a day of it, really. So that's the idea, rather than just have it all focused on rugby. Let's get it more for the kids as well and get some live music.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be exciting. Keith, thank you very much for spending some time with us, mate, and all the very best for this weekend at the Summer Bash.
My pleasure. Cheers, buddies.
Thanks, mate. So there you have it. Leeds Rhinos and Sheffield Eagles legend, Super League legend, Keith Senior, with his hands full. Before we go away and start on the other hot topics, I want to come back to the Magic Weekend, because, Leon, the outcomes of the games this weekend really went your guys' ways. All the big teams that you were equal points on all had losses. Hull FC, you guys were able to come away with a win, and now you're sitting on top of the Super League.
It's been a while since I've been sat down looking at people, but it's really enjoyable being up there. But listen, there's a long way to go in Super League. We've achieved nothing yet. Obviously, the results have gone our way this week, but it means nothing when you're halfway through the season and you're sitting on top of the table. It's still a hell of a long way to go. But yeah, the results were awesome for us this weekend.
All right, well, there was another thing that based around the results is with Wakefield winning against Catalans, which I think we all saw that as a surprise. And the manner in which they did it, we've just got a small sample. I want you all to listen to this. So cut to it, Ewan.
Possession, they were quick onto the loose ball. Here's their
Jacob Miller.
Not from there, surely.
He's had a goal.
That's a monster step from Miller.
He's had a goal.
What a strike.
And there you have it, ladies and gents. If you didn't see that, basically what happened was Jacob Miller picked the ball up. There was only 3 minutes to go. I think the score was 24 points all. 3 minutes to go. Jacob Miller is, I think it's play three or play four. It's not, oh no, it's the final play. But he's on his own halfway.
He smashed
just
it.
Just grabs the ball.
Smashed it.
Drop kicks it. I can tell you what was going through Chris
Joel
Chester's.
It was Joel Iden-esque, that,
well,
wasn't it?
What was going through Chris Chester's mind at that point in time would have been, what are you doing?
Especially when it goes to Liam Finn, because Liam Finn is the main kicker.
Yeah.
He's the better kicker out of the two.
It didn't just go over, it went 10 metres over.
Yeah, he smoked it.
From 50 metres out. How did that happen?
Snap that ball straight over the goal.
You were unbelievable.
So one thing I wanted to put to you guys, that is a purely and simply what we're nicknaming a Miller moment. What about your guys' Miller moment? You must have had many Miller moments throughout your careers. Robbo, name one, when you were the man, when you came up with that play that meant that your team was going to win, or what was it, when you could strut about with your, you know, your peacock feathers out and your chest pumped out?
Do you know what, it was probably an accumulation of not just one moment, but basically I was a young kid for Wigan, brought my hand, We're out for a full 8 weeks. Got a phone call on the way back. We're playing for Yorkshire under 18s. Someone's dropped down injured. Can you play? We're on the bench against St. Helens. I think we're 16-0 down. I don't know if Liam were there then.
No, probably not.
I think it was Bradford. Came onto the field literally within half, like I say, half the game. Scored a hat trick. Went on to win game.
I watched it.
It wasn't actually my debut, I'd just come back from a broken hand. I'm only a really young kid. I might have been 17, 18. Like I say, 14-0 down. Just threw me on. We need something. Scored a hat trick. Won game. It was like at Knowsley Road as well, which, you know, amazing feeling.
You're only 3'2" at that point.
I watched that game as well. I remember when I first saw Robbo play. His first game I've seen him play. What do you want to know my magic moment?
Yeah, of course I want to know your Miller moment. Not your magic moment, your Miller moment.
No, the price moment. Come on. I remember we were playing against Saints for Bradford. I think it was 2005, just before playoffs. And I broke through the line. I broke through between Mason and Fozard, I think it was. And
he picks the two biggest players on the field.
I had Wellens coming towards me, and I can remember in slow motion my brain thinking, how am I going to beat Wellens, his best defensive game, full-back in game?
It's poor Wellens.
And it slowed down. I thought, right, if I step once, he's going to tackle me. So I'm going to have to step twice. So I stepped off my left. I came off my left foot. And as I stepped off my left, he sat down to tackle me, and I stepped quickly off my right, really quickly, and he fell over backwards, and I accelerated again. Oh, get back up to top speed, go, and I managed to dive over the line, and that was my Miller moment.
Oh, I can imagine it.
Full length against Saints.
When you realise that you'd just broken through, the adrenaline rush must have been amazing.
Yeah, and then I could feel Leswell behind me going, Pricey, give it ball. I've got no, this is my try.
Oh, that's brilliant. All right, we're going to have a cut to a break. Now, after we get back, we're going to talk about the RFL backlash for Dr. Kukash's press conference last week. All that and more after the break, so stay with us.
Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse One.
Kia ora, Robbie Hunter-Paul here, and I'm with the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, and the General Luke Robinson. Leon, the world's back aligned again.
I heard it. It's just a matter of respect, Robbie. It's age. It's age, about being up the age.
All right. This week, actually, we're giving away 10 pairs of tickets to Rugby AM's Rugby AM Rocks. It's at the Mendenhall Stadium on Saturday, the 4th of June. It's going to be a fun weekend out. To get any of the details, please go to pulse1.co.uk, click on the win tab, and you'll find out how you can put your name down to be in a win to win a pair of those tickets. Now, on with the hot topics in rugby league. There's been a bit of a backlash for Dr. Kukash's press conference last week. He was calling for a breakaway. He was calling for Super League Chiefs, Super League clubs to come and join him in a breakaway and try and put some pressure on the RFL. But I think you're seeing in the trade rag this week all Super League Chiefs saying, even though there is some significance to some of the points that he pointed out, they're not in favour, generally not in favour of a breakaway competition. I was in a regulatory meeting with the Championship Chiefs as well as the League One Chiefs as well. I think there was about 24 clubs there. The general consensus there also was, I think there were nearly every club said that they weren't in favour of a breakaway. So it seems pretty solid. But I think what I want to throw out to you is the fact that someone's brought up the idea of it. Doesn't that make it dangerous to the competition, to league, full stop?
I personally think some of the points that he brought up are validity. So can put my teeth back in. A valid point, there we go.
You normally blame me.
I know. Sure, you're rubbing off on me. But a lot of the points are valid. And, you know, I think it's good that somebody's actually bringing it up, bringing it to the attention, and it's out there in the open. I'm not sure he's gone about it the right way and whether it is going to be something that, you know, can be done. You know, we're not flush with money, for example, and there's not, you know, two big money backers trying to tear it away or anything like that. So, yeah, maybe it can't be done. Maybe we shouldn't just throw out all his points.
Yeah, is it that it may have had some more validity if someone else had propositioned it? Because obviously Marwan is very outspoken and it's not traditional, and I think time and time again it's ruffled certain members of the rugby league world's feathers, the way he's gone about his business. Do you think that maybe if someone else, maybe of a different type of profile, had made this type of call, it would have been taken in a different way?
Well, probably if it was Gary Everington, then yes. But as you know, Robbie, and as we all know in life, it's about politics, isn't it? It's not not only knowing what you know is right, or maybe knowing that you're right, sometimes you've got to keep that to yourself for things to work in your favour. So, no, maybe Kukoc knows that whatever's going on at the RFL, he's been given this money or whatever he thinks, but not everybody wants to be involved. Even if they do agree with him, they don't always want to show their support because they've got their feet under the table, maybe with the RFL or with someone else. So it's hard to publicly get support because people know where the bread's buttered, don't they?
Do you think situations like this damages the sport, though?
I'm not sure it damages the sport. I think it's good to be open and honest, you know, and whatever happens, if every chairman got behind him, then it'd be the right thing to do. If it's one bloke's opinion at the end of the day, isn't it? It's just an opinion, and I'm all for opinions being out there, open, honest, and if everybody agreed with it, would go down that route. If we don't agree with it, I think it's good. We get a little bit of publicity for the sport. He gets his point listened to. You know, we decide to go with it or we don't.
Robbie, what I'd like to know is, if he's asking these questions, we've got to look at ourselves now. We're in 2016. Where are we as a sport? Have we progressed? Over the last 20 years of Super League, have we progressed? Have we? Have we got to a point where we've maximised and then we've dropped down again? For what reason? Have we? You know, we've got one of the highest watched sports on Sky Sports. We've got some of the biggest crowd attendances. Is our game marketed properly? No, it's not. You know, have we peaked? Maybe. Is our international game big? No, it's not big. These are questions that need answering, but they get skirted over year after year after year. Is the salary cap big enough? No, it's not big enough. The players are still getting paid now that was the same wages we did back in 1999. That doesn't happen in any other work line. These are all things that be brought up.
I think there's an undertone of supporters, players, all important stakeholders wanting to really understand the strategy, the short and long term strategy.
Yeah, where are we going?
What is the pathway in which we're going as a sport? The issue with explaining that, and the issue with getting that out into the public, is your competitors will take that information and use it against you. So it's a little bit of a closed shop where they can allow a little bit of it to get out, but they can't send it all out because obviously competitors like rugby union, football, cricket, for example, these are all elements that we're competing for in regards to the consumer's leisure spend.
I'm not saying this, Robbie, to have a go at rugby league. First and foremost, I'm a rugby league fan. I've been watching rugby since I was 7 years old. I've been a Bulls supporter since I was 8 years old. I've been on terrace since I've been a ball boy. I love rugby league. But what we would want is we want it to progress at some point. I mean, look at rugby union. Wait 1 second, Robbie. Look at rugby union. Rugby union was amateur. What, 20 years ago, 1996? Look at it now.
95.
Look at the game now. From amateur to now, where it is now, on a world stage, played in many countries, the nine, the sevens. Every country's buzzing. You've got teams like in Argentina, who probably weren't even played there 15 years ago.
They played there.
But they're massive. But do you know what I'm saying? The game
there
has
was
spread,
a foundation that rugby union has built upon. So I do understand it. Yeah. Yes, and
do you know what
and,
I mean?
And
I the, just would like to see rugby league evolve.
And the sport was quote unquote amateur.
Yes,
I mean there was a lot of money invested into it, but there is an important network that I think everybody understands when it comes to a sport like rugby union. But there's probably other better examples like darts
and snooker and stuff
and
like
look
that.
Look at the growth of MMA. That has gone to a very high-profile sport. So I think with rugby league, maybe we run the risk of trying to be everything to everyone.
Yes,
and we don't really have an identity.
I agree with what you said earlier, Robbie. I think we just want to know that there is a strategy. You don't have to tell us the fine details of that strategy. Just give us something. Let us know that we are going the right way.
It's quite interesting. We say we want to see that the sport is growing, but how do we measure what the sport is growing? Because actually viewing figures are up, attendance figures are up across the board, so the sport is growing. But what I think you're talking about is that we don't talk about rugby league as pop culture. Do you know what I mean? Popular icons. The athletes aren't popular icons. They're not on the front pages of the magazines. The profile of the sport isn't into that realm yet.
Yeah, in the early 90s, you know, Ellery, Edwards, Martin of Fire, they were regulars on Question of Sport. And I know that should just be the be-all and end-all, but they were household names. At the moment, we kind of just feels like we're losing that household name status. You know, Sam Tompkins, big name still, but I just don't think they have the same... With down south, for example, with the media, with the television, that Ellery Hanley and Sean Edwards had.
But remember, one of the biggest national institutions isn't down south. It's in Media City in Manchester. And so the coverage from the sport, I think what we're really talking about is how we leverage that exposure and take it into the pop icon sort of realm. And mm-hmm. I think that's what's interesting. But we can, you know, there's a lot that I don't think we've heard the last of this Kukash situation and the challenges that he's thrown at the RFL. I think it's going to unearth a few more truths, and I think what we're going to see is something built on the back of. Maybe it's a positive thing. Maybe from the embers of this, something you know, something strong and representative of the sport is going to come out of it. All right, moving on. There's discussions around some of the CEOs saying that the raising of the cap would be suicidal, because this is sort of anchored into part of what Marwan Kukash is saying. Adam Pearson saying it's going to be suicidal if we raise the cap, but then you've got Salford CEO and owner Roger Draper, supported by their owner Simon Moran, suggesting that we need to look at how at least start a healthy debate on incremental increases in that salary cap.
I think that's perfect. Rather than just going, right, we're going to spend another million a year, you just increase it slightly every year. And I think that's just But you've got to see growth, obviously, within the sport and with your own organisation. I think that's what everyone's worried about. Everyone's worried about the likes, for example, of Wakefield and maybe Huddersfield to a certain extent. You know, we've got a big money owner in Ken Davey who's brilliant and pumps his own money in, but if Ken Davey goes, where do we sort of generate that cash from? But I just think for us to stay in line with inflation and the rest of the world and every other sport, we have to start making increases somewhere, even if they're only really slight.
I think the real fear, what we're really talking about, and staying in line with those other marketplaces, so we're talking about rugby union, we're talking about the NRL, we're talking about rugby union in the south of France. What we're discussing here is the talent drain.
Massive drain.
The talent drain, and I think that's what we need to protect, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, so what you're saying that the players are going elsewhere to
the opportunity for players to generate that sort of income, they'll get advice from their managers and they'll be told to go elsewhere.
Well, at the end of the day, that's what we're at. We are then accepting mediocrity, aren't we? Our best, most high-profile players go elsewhere to earn the money that they can do, because sport is a short-lived livelihood. So I'm massive for getting the best players. Give the people, the guys, what they deserve, and let's get the game massive again. Let's get the big names over here. Let's get it.
But
massive.
If we do this, you're on two poles here. Robbo's saying if we take the approach of increases, then we'll do all right. Leon, you just want to jump into the deep end.
No. I'm not. It came out the wrong way. I'm probably just speaking too fast for my brain. But
externally
I totally agree. Just put a system in place where it grows slowly, so we can see the increase of the cap in a formation that we can all understand and that the players know, and we can show that we're growing slowly.
Slowly mean? I think NRL in 2017 they moved to $7 million Aussie dollars, which is about £4 million. I think that brings it on par with what the English Rugby Union also, you know, the salary cap there. I mean, at this point in time, we're at 1.86. So we're operating at 50%, aren't we?
Yeah,
so what would be an incremental change then?
I'll be honest, I don't know enough. You're
the man.
You're more privy to this. You're the businessman. We're obviously players. I'm now a coach. Yeah.
And on that note, we're going to go to a break.
We're the thickos that just play the game, get his heads bashed around, and then hope that people like you can put things in place so we get paid more. Sort it out, Robert. Get some more money.
What am I doing with my life? I'm not qualified. Oh, no. All right, we're going to take a break now. When we get back, we'll be looking at the Super League picks of the round, as well as talking about the championship summer bash. So stay with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, and we're continuing on with the hottest topics in the sport, as well as taking a look at the best games of the bash this coming weekend and the round, the best games of the Super League round this weekend also. Before we do, let's announce the winner of the family pass for this Saturday summer bash. And we're throwing a dart, and it's landed on Debbie Wade. Congratulations, Debbie. We'll be in touch to let you know how you can pick up those tickets. You're probably going to come up to Bradford Bull Stadium and collect them from there. So I hope you enjoy this weekend. I know I will. Now, remember, we're giving away 10 pairs of tickets to Rugby AM's Rugby Rocks at the Castleford Mendenhall Stadium. To find out how you can pick up a pair of those tickets, just go on pulse1.co.uk, click on the win tab, and you can find out how you can enter to see if you're a winner. Okay, boys, sticking on with Hot topics. I think we've got to mention Rangi Chase has hung up his boots, stating that he's going to focus on his family. What do you think to that? You know, it wasn't but a couple of years ago he was representing England and coming up with some of the biggest plays the Super League has ever seen.
I think he's a unbelievably talented player, and that's obviously speaking about somebody who plays in the same position as me, and I've been one of his biggest admirers over the year. But something's obviously not right with Rangi himself and his personal life, with himself or his family, what have you. But I think number one thing is to make sure that he's healthy and that make sure that he's okay, because obviously he's not enjoying the game. He's not enjoying something behind the scenes that I don't know anything about. But I just hope for him all the best. I hope he gets the help that he needs. I hope he takes a bit of time away from rugby. And I hope he gets himself in a position where he's happy with himself and life, because there's more to life than playing rugby.
That's right. And I think the impact of happiness will have an impact on whether or not you can fulfil your ability as a professional player, isn't it?
Well, I've been there, Rob. I've been to Catalans and I've been to clubs over the years, and there's a lot more goes on behind closed doors than people think. That we get paid this lots of money, we go play rugby, everybody loves us and we're local heroes and, you know, can retire rich, and there's a lot more to the game than people know and that meets the eye. And I want people like that to be happy. I know it's a very stressful time playing rugby, and people can put themselves in a bad way, and I just hope he's healthy.
Do you know what about Rangi? A lot of times, if you notice in life, geniuses are virgin, aren't they, a little bit? Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like he's that character. He's that good at rugby league that he's on the crust.
They're kind of tiptoe between their world between genius and madness.
Yes. Well, it is, because
Sean Long, another great example. You know, you read in his autobiography, you know, how he would fall onto one side of that line, and a lot of the time you use rugby as a crux to sort of play for forgiveness or to allow yourself to let go and not think, because you know what it's like in the middle of the game when you're playing and you're in the zone and you're playing, you're completely free. Mm-hmm. You know, when the game's happening and it's unfolding around you, and you can just let go to
it. It's a bit crazy.
Not only that, but you get an endorphin release when you exercise as well, don't you?
Well, there's even people like Jim Carrey and people like that were geniuses, and you watch them and they're the best comedians in the world, and they suffered with depression.
Robin Williams,
the funniest man that's ever lived, and he suffers with depression.
I think what a lot of people don't realise is when you perform at that high level, well, a lot of people think that the joy that must come from people coming up and patting you on the back and saying you're wonderful and saying that's absolutely brilliant and fantastic, that must make you feel good all the time. But actually, you become a little numb to that, don't you? Because you get it so often. It's sort of like that becomes your normal. And when it disappears or when it goes or the times in between, that's when you start to struggle with your own personal issues.
And it's not only that, but rugby league players, you're wanting to be better all the time. Every day you're wanting to be better. Every game you're wanting to be better. So as soon as he does them magic flicks and tricks that he does and scores four tries and wins the game, the next game he wants to be better, and we're in a pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. And if you don't live up to you, not only everybody else's expectations, but your own expectations, there's a lot more pressure that goes about. All my mates are like Leon's, you know. Oh, it must be amazing just playing rugby and everything. It's like playing down at Siddle with your mates and everyone just has a beer afterwards, and they don't understand the pressures that come with it. You know, trying to pay your mortgage if you get dropped from the side, if you're wanting to emulate that perfect game.
The anxiety that comes if you haven't signed a new contract, if you haven't sorted out the next few years. The anxiety that comes when you're thinking about life after rugby as well.
If you're playing with an injury whilst trying to earn your new contract, so you have to have injections and play with on broken bones, and there's a lot more to it than
people don't. If people see your name on the team sheet and they think that you should compete as you always would do, but they don't realise sometimes you're competing at 60%. Sometimes they don't realise that actually it's not your decision to actually go out and run, because you can get on your feet. You're being sort of encouraged,
pushed.
You're being cajoled, you're being
pushed. You'll be right, son.
Yeah, don't worry, just get out there. We're better off having a 60% Leon Price out there than we are bringing one of the kids up just for your presence on the field. And sometimes you're right, but then people will start judging Leon at 60% as opposed to Leon at 100%, which is why you had your knee cleaned out earlier this year, so you could perform as you've performed over the last three games.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you.
Oh, mate, you're describing me last 3 years. The last 3 years, you know, I've got the right thumb as well that I haven't felt this thumb for 18 months. not joking, it's just got pins and needles in it because I played with nerve blockers for four weeks. They wanted me to play. I couldn't squeeze water out of a bottle because I didn't have any strength in my arms. Something's wrong. They said, look, we need you to play when you get in top four. It's madness now. So I took nerve blockers to block my nerves.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so that we could get in the top four. But then pressures and things that go along, it's not only pressure on yourself to play, pressure on you from the coaches. You don't want to let your mates down. And all the things that are, you know, when all them things are together, it is an intense pressure situation. If you don't have that, if you have a bit of a personality that is on the edge, like Rangnick does seem, then, you know, we need to give him all the help that we can give him.
You're right. Just to let people know also, it isn't just, you know, it's not, we're not just saying that as players we were forced to do these things. There's a part of the culture that we buy into is that you want to play. And a lot of the time you will go out there yourself. But it's not 100% of the time, but the majority of the time you're getting out there yourself.
Oh, look, you know, I injected myself over and over again these, like, I couldn't put my sock on, tie my boot. But do you know what? If I had my time again, I'd probably do it again.
So would I.
You know, it's just 100%. The way you are as a rugby player. You don't want to let your mates down. You want to go and you want to play every week. So although I did that to myself, people say the club did it, you know, I chose to do it as well.
Hey, you know, I want to bring up this one because obviously I've been looking at it in the trade rags over the past 3 or 4 weeks. Brian Mack and the players still refusing to give up on a top four chance for Leeds. Now, about a month ago, we were all sitting here and we're saying, no, we're not confident. We're not comfortable in saying Leeds Rhinos won't be in the mix at some point in time. Are we going to say it now? Are we going to say, confidently say that they're not going to be a top four team?
Oh, we were talking
top
about,
four.
I thought we were talking about a top eight.
No,
we
top were, four.
They're not going to be a top four team. I'll tell you right now, they're not going to be a top four team.
Leon, you're the same?
No comment.
He's still got to play.
He's former player.
I've still got to play. I'm still playing. You can say what you want.
I'll say what I want.
You can just imagine Brian Mack sampling this part of the show.
Correct. Leon Price 10 years ago might have gone, no, they won't make it. But I know that that would be a silly comment because they'll use that against me.
Oh,
so what I'll say is the odds are against them. It's not impossible, but we never know, do we? So that's diplomatic enough.
That's extremely diplomatic. But, you know, I got to draw a line under it. I'm still looking at the talent that they got in their ranks, but they're just not getting it together. And not only that, you know, for me, this was a big game for them against Wigan this weekend, and they needed to have a performance. And it just seems that the confidence is just not just gone; it's disappeared.
Confidence is the word used in sport all the time. Momentum, all them things that go with it. It doesn't matter what your culture is, where you've been, what you've done before. Once you lose it, and you lose it within the group, that's a big one. You know, every player goes through. Up and down in the form, but if the team's still going well, sometimes they can carry and get through it. When the team's lost its confidence, that the actual group's lost its confidence within the group, then that's a totally different.
And that's what it looks like from the outside looking. Look, we're not in the inside. We hear rumours come out, you know, from people that are second or third party removed. But from the outside looking in, and the way they're performing over the last few weeks, it just looked like their heads have gone. And they may, some of the individuals in the team have just drawn a line under it. Still, look at it, opening parts of the games, they look very well individually, but they're just not working collectively. Okay, before we always get to this part of the show, let's have a look at the upcoming games. Summer Bash on this weekend, like I said, all six games of the championship over the one weekend in the one stadium, Bloomfield Road, Blackpool. There's also the iPro final, Keighley versus York. How do you guys see that one going? Keighley versus York? Keighley's part of Bradford. You're going to stay local, aren't you?
I'll go Keighley.
Go on, Keighley.
I've got some mates that play for Keighley, so Keighley.
There you go. We heard Keith Senior talking about Sheffield's resurgence and their performance against Bradford last week. You think they're able to get one over on Broncos?
No, I think London are going well at the moment, so I'm going to go with the Broncos for that.
Broncos win.
I want Sheffield to win because it allows Bulls to climb a little bit higher on the table, so I'm going to back them. Leon, you guys are playing off against St Helens, but you're hosting them at your place. Big game for you guys.
Massive game. Saints are struggling at the moment after last week's performance, so we need to capitalise on that. But yeah, hopefully we can pull one over on them.
Robbo, your Giants, you guys are travelling away to Widnes this week. Widnes are desperate to get a win. You guys keep the roll going though.
We're
going to
win. Yeah, tough on the high pitch, but we'll win this week.
And last one, Cass versus Wigan. Game on tomorrow night.
Wigan.
Oh, I think I'm going with Cass. I've backed Cass the last 3 weeks. All right, big thanks to you guys tonight. Total Access is next here. Enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.